Hello, everybody, and this is going to be a shorter program because I have a webinar coming up, and I think I can at least bring us to the point where we are discussing the six rules of the road, which I think deserve a program all of their own. So we are on video commentary number 37, and we're dealing with the rules for magic on the astral plane. We're on page 359, I believe, and we just have a little bit more to do before we get into this rules for the road, the rules of the path. I think it may be maybe the first time he mentioned them, and I think they are found also in other sections of the book. So no more than a half hour, and then I'll be able to be on time for my broadcast. You see, in this problem of how to manage time, one has to be ready to grab the hours when they may be available. Okay, so what I've just done is I've given an analysis of these sections from the old commentary. It's my view of the symbols. I haven't by far written down all of what I said. It will just have to go as speech. And it's the progress of all the aspirants on the path of initiation. It deals with the purification process, the water, the fire. It deals with pain. It deals with discrimination, and in very symbolic terms, I've done what I can for the moment. I suppose if I were writing it out, it would be maybe, certainly more orderly. But I've opted here for the sort of second-ray, third-ray, fourth-ray method of making these commentaries. So perhaps one of the first things that every student has to learn as he seeks to grasp the nature and the use of mind, and this is one of the major ways of controlling, of course, the astral body, a major factor in controlling the astral body, and discussed in relation to Scorpio particularly, as there are two uses of the mind, one of which really helps with the control of the astral body. And there it is that we find the big battle for the control of the astral body, is that public opinion has to give place to individual consciousness of right, and that then that individual consciousness has to be so employed and concentrated that it is seen in its right proportion as the living germ which can expand into the divine flower of the Son of Mind, the Manasa Putra. What do they call this? The mind, mind born son of Brahma. The Manasa Putra, and as the thread which leads back into the realm of universal mind. So basically, what we have here is the idea that the right use of individual mind can lead into soul mind and thence to universal mind as found on the cosmic physical plane, not beyond, not yet, but maybe one day. All of our highest spiritual efforts at the moment have to be confined to the cosmic physical plane. So public opinion is filled, it's very camomanasic and not accurate, very camomanasic and not accurate, filled with emotion and often with illogic, But it is powerful. And if we have an educated public opinion, then, and that they will come an educated public opinion, then much good can result from it. Right now, it is the prey of demagogues who appeal to the worst in the human being and how that worst affects human thinking. Okay, so you can trace it back, your individual consciousness of the right, which is a mental factor, and the living germ, which can expand into the higher types of mind. And as the thread that leads back to the realm of universal mind, now universal mind really is found, I suppose, on the cosmic mental plane. The word universal, maybe we can think of it as solar systemic mind. I think a lot of discoveries regarding galaxies and our place in the universe came after this was written, and I think the masters, though knowing these things, have to be careful about what they reveal. Mind, the human being has to discover these things for himself, and humanity must be the one that discovers, and then a hierarchy is allowed to confirm that discovery, even if it is occurring more rapidly than they anticipated or even that they think is wise. Okay, when the truth appears, they have to confirm it. This thread and this consciousness, when followed, will lead the individual into the council chamber, wherein the plan and purpose of the great life, in this case, perhaps the planetary logos, will stand revealed, and where all human selfishness and self-seeking fade out in the clear light of the will of God. Now, can the universal mind be accessed from the council chamber? And I would say, well, certainly the atmic plane can be accessed from that level. And although it's not possible for man, certainly Sanat Kumara and beings of his stature can access on the cosmic mental plane the that aspect of the universal mind. Interestingly, the Buddha himself at the sixth initiation seemed to gather that cosmic touch, seemed to touch the cosmic mental plane. On what level, I don't know, whether lower or higher, but his was a cosmic mental touch, and the Christ also had a cosmic touch, but it was more in relation to the love energy on the cosmic astral plane. So there is a thread of consciousness which, if rightly cultivated, leads to some very high places within the entire mind factor of our local cosmosphere. I won't speak about that which lies beyond the local and all the superior, super cosmic, and super, super cosmic, and super, super, super cosmic planes, which exist perhaps up to the 10th dimension. And then we have to decide what he means by that. Through right understanding and the right use and control of the astral nature and a comprehension of the nature of the sentient consciousness, man can penetrate to the very heart of God himself and know past all controversy that all is well, for all is love. Now, this is a different kind of penetration and a very important one. It's more the Christ line, and let's just say we might say astral body. No, it's not going to work. For all is love. Okay. Astral body, Buddhic plane, monadic plane, cosmic astral plane. This is the line of penetration leading to the realization of love even in a cosmic sense. And this line relies very much upon the capacities, the abilities, the tendencies of Neptune. Through right use of the mind and through correct understanding of the nature of the intellect, man can enter into the mind of God and know that all is well, for all is planned, and divine purpose is steadily working out its objectives, we might say, through the divine plan. So these are higher penetrations which rise within the vehicles of man, which within the, well, let's see, personality vehicles of man, and which, when extended, lead into the higher realms. So let's go back here just to confirm, you know, there's a thread here, and following it, how do we follow the thread? Well, when followed, and let's just say here, we follow the thread through meditation. We lead the individual into the council chamber eventually as a Chohan, wherein the plan and the purpose of the great life, planetary logos, and even the plan, you know, the masters may be custodians of the plan, and much of it is worked out in a practical manner, perhaps on the realm of the atmic plane and below, in the Brahmic worlds, but it seems to originate in terms of time and space within the council chamber. And I think the council chamber, you know, finally can be found upon the logoic plane. Anyway, the purpose of the great life will stand revealed, and human selfishness and all that will fade out. And then, so that's the right use of the mind. And he kind of repeats it coming up. Through the right understanding and right use and control, three factors regarding the astral body, through right understanding and right use and control of the astral body, all these factors. And a comprehension of the nature of the sentient consciousness, and we might say from low to high, man can penetrate into the very heart of God. Where is the heart of God found? Well, heart of God himself found where? Represented on the cosmic physical plane, on the cosmic astral plane, and on the cosmic mental plane within the egoic lotus of the planetary logos, and more, the egoic lotus of the solar logos. And then I suppose we can go on to the Buddhic plane and find even a greater representation of the cosmic heart of God. Okay, man can penetrate into the very heart of God. Our particular way of representing that is through our own, what we call the soul on the higher mental plane within our own egoic lotus. And know past all controversy that all is well, for all is love. And we might say this love, in its quite pure form is found on the cosmic astral plane and is represented on the cosmic physical plane. Okay. And then through the right use of the mind, you know, we can trace these things back. Right sentiency is the first one, and then right cognition, I suppose, right thought. And through the correct understanding of the nature of the intellect. So let's just make this also have this stand out a bit for ourselves. Right use of the mind and the correct understanding of the nature of the intellect. Man can enter into the mind of God, and it's found also represented in various places on all levels. Let's just say this mind of God is represented on the cosmic physical plane, cosmic astral plane. Also, there's a mental level there, and the cosmic mental plane. Okay, the work. Well, he's giving us quite a stretch, isn't he? Okay, now I have to make sure that my half hour really holds. And I'm beginning to worry about that. Oh, I don't think it's going to hold. I want the rules of the road. And something is not right. My rules of the road are escaping me. Okay, well, friends, I have to admit a mistake, but I'm going to keep what I just discussed. The rules of the road are found in Glamour, A World Problem. And since I was going to be dealing with the Glamour presentation in a very short time, I got the two confused. So let's just say we'll go on here until the half hour is up, but then put it like this, there will be no rules of the road discussion in this program. They're very important, and I suppose that mistakes or errors like this can bring to our attention their value. I mean, we, you know, when we do uphold the rules of the road, then we tread the path properly and we do not fall into the snares of Maya, glamour, and illusion. So sorry for that, but I was so intent on having a half-hour program that I transposed my registration of what was going on in the glamour book into this one. Okay, forgive me for that, but I don't want to unsay what I just said before, and the editing process is too lengthy, so I'm just going to trust that you'll bear with me. The work of the Atlantean adepts was to impress upon the world the consciousness of the fact that God is love. And I think the fourth degree was possible in Atlantean times, and even on the moon chain, but not later in the moon chain offering. Because then the Buddha could not take even the third initiation. It was not being offered at that time, and he had to then delay the taking of it until reaching the Atlantean period, when he took it, as we're told, in a fourth ray ashram with the Christ. This is, God is love. This is a symbolic expression of the truth as to the use of the word God. Now, you know, in our solar, let's see, in our solar system, God, which is a second-ray solar system, God is indeed at this time love. But of course, God will be will, and God has been intelligence, and God is God. The solar logos is will, love, and intelligence, and finally, the synthesis of all three. The work of the Aryan adepts is to impress upon the world consciousness that God is will. And using, okay, it's always that way. If I rush, using the intelligence. To do this for the human family, they work with the intellect so as to bring it into control, to subordinate other forms to the mind, and, you know, and I might say via the will, and through the mind to reveal to man the vision of what is and what will be. So we do realize that mind and will are along the same hard line stream of energy. Man is therefore brought into line with the esoteric head center of the one life. Now, you know, what is this one life? So is this our planetary logos, who with respect to us is indeed a one inclusive life, or is it something more? So anyway, in any case, is Shambhala, which is the esoteric head center of the planetary logos. And Shambhala, as I say, has its representation on globes, chains, and in the whole planetary scheme. In the animal kingdom, through the development of sentiency and its allied unfoldment through pain, so pain, we have pain, and the sympathetic nervous system, I guess we could say it, and the sympathetic nervous system and the solar plexus, that's where this pain is felt, or this is the mechanism or the physiological mechanism, subtle physiology, which allows the feeling of pain. In the animal kingdom, through the development of sentiency and its allied unfoldment through pain, they are bringing those types of forms into line with the heart center in nature. And this can be found on the cosmic physical plane, just as can Shambhala. This is a phrase conveying a truth which cannot be more clearly expressed until man has become more inclusive in his consciousness. The use of the word nature is to be examined. So in one place he talks about the esoteric head center, and another place he talks about the heart center of nature, and you kind of wonder whether there's some being who is a combination of kingdoms who has a heart center. I mean, all of these kingdoms are ensouled by entities, and they have the chakric development. So what is nature in terms of a being or combination of beings? In any case, you rather think that this would be found upon the cosmic physical plane as well as something much higher than it, i.e. Shambhala is also found on the cosmic physical plane. Through color in the vegetable kingdom, you know, that's along the 2-4-6 line, but especially the fourth ray, those forms of divine manifestation are also brought into vibratory contact with that center of force in nature, which is analogous to the throat center as man. These are very, very obscure and occult statements. Okay, so color and the throat center. Forms being brought into contact with higher entities. That's what we're talking about. Well, this would require some really deep examination. Basically, he says he has to use these words. In using these words, I refer primarily to the life which is expressing itself through our planet, to our planetary logos, but the idea can, needless to say, be progressed to include the great life of which our planetary logos is but a reflection and an expression. And we might say this could be the solar logos, but also one of the stars of the logoi, or rishis, of the stars of the Great Bear, and beyond. Now, what is the idea here? Whoop, got to be careful. The idea here is note how an idea can be progressed. And that's a good way of putting it. Man is the brain of nature, the animals, the expression of the heart, the vegetable world, the expression of the creative force of the throat center, these three kingdoms in nature forming in a peculiar manner correspondences to the three higher centers in man. Maybe we can call them, leaving out the Aslan center, perhaps we're dealing with head, heart, and throat. I think so. The three higher centers in man, head, heart, and throat center, as the three kingdoms on the involutionary arc correspond to the three lower centers, and the mineral kingdom, abstruse as the idea may seem to those of you who have not the consciousness of the life aspect corresponding to the solar plexus, the great clearinghouse between that which is above and that which is below. Well, the mineral kingdom is a juncture where involutionary kingdoms and evolutionary kingdoms meet. But yes, yes, abstruse. So I do not, hazard an interpretation of that at the moment. Okay. So there are analogies. So DK will now take up additional analogies. All right. DK will take up additional analogies, and this will be the end of our half-hour program. Well, I guess, did I do right by, first of all, I got the wrong book in my mind, and that was not particularly useful or helpful. We're on page 360, and we basically just started from 359, didn't we? So, yeah, we did. So I'm just going to transpose this. It's amazing how many analogies of a very abstruse kind DK brings into this treatise on cosmic fire. Okay, this treatise on white magic. Looks like I've got a lot of errors going here, unfortunately. Okay. So, the end of number 37, and it's going to be number 21, is that it? No, maybe number 20, perhaps. I'll make a quick check in documents, and it is going to be number 21. Okay. And we'll start in on program number 22, and it'll be 38, just as this is 37. Okay. All right. And it will be, we've really only gone one page, so I don't know if I should make apologies for having done this whatsoever. Maybe I should. Anyway, we'll start with number 38, and it will be from 360 onward. And we will have start with number 22. Well, we'll do a little bit of review here. It is now, the half hour is concluded, and I may just make it in time to do the program on glamour. And maybe this is the glamour of busyness or the glamour of rush or something like that. So he really, what is the principle? When you look at something, it depends on the angle from which you are looking. The place that any source holds within a particular hole depends on what that hole is and the angle from which you see it. It also depends on how many factors you include surrounding the particular source that you may be interested in. If it's larger, then your source will be a smaller unit, probably. If it's smaller, then your source may be a larger unit. The idea of the progression of thought and ideas into higher correspondences, that is clear. And the idea that man is the brain, the animals the heart, and the color factor relating the plants to the throat center of perhaps, you know, some aspect of the planetary logos. That seems to be the life about which we are speaking. In using these words, I refer primarily to that life which is expressing through our planet to our planetary logos. And, you know, there are also these beings, kingdom beings, we might say, that ensoul kingdoms and maybe combinations of kingdoms as well. So we have to keep on the lookout for such beings. And the role that these different kingdoms will play in the combined kingdom being. Yeah. Okay. I won't do this again. Famous last words. Okay, everybody, thank you. And we'll go on to number 38 next, and hopefully at a more leisurely pace.